Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
We're just wrapping up the big June video game announcement season. We have lovingly dubbed it Fake E3 because it really does feel like that time of year again. And we want to talk about who are the big winners and who are the big losers.
There are definitely some winners and there are definitely some, unfortunately, losers.
Yeah.
But it's so true. Like, this last week has felt a lot like E3, reminded us of our days when we were working E3, of like, it's just nonstop. It's one after the other. Bang, bang, bang.
Showcases, showcases, showcases.
People are back to talking about the console wars.
They are back.
They were gone. Now they're back. We missed you.
Did we? Did we really? I didn't realize we missed it. But okay.
We watched all the showcases. We were at Summer Game Fest. We played a lot of these games, and we can tell you what's working and what's not.
Yes.
So we have about, I think we got about a half dozen winners and losers here we want to run through. Mm-hmm. Let's start with a loser.
We're going to alternate.
Yeah.
So that it's not just
off.
Like, here are all the losers, because that's sad and depressing.
It's a winner and loser sandwich.
Yes, it is.
So the first loser are games launching in September and October. And people started to notice this after the first one, the State of Play. Where it was so many games kind of like in the second half of September going into October. It's like, wait, these are all coming out at the same time.
Yes, and it's all because of the one big thing, which is GTA 6 in November. So everyone's trying to clear the deck. And so apparently the industry as a whole has decided that only one other month exist, and that's September, and sometimes a little bit in October. Mostly September, though, I saw. And a lot of games.
Very heavy.
Huge games, like, head-to-head on the same day. Huge games, one day apart. It just makes it so hard for your game to stand out, even if it's a huge game. And it makes it really hard for us because we want to play all these games, but we certainly can't.
I think everybody has this kind of tough decision at least once through the end of the year of like, I think a good example of this is, so we got the Fire Emblem release date, which is like 2 days before the Wolverine game on PS5. It's like, well, I'd like to play both of those.
But that's pretty tough.
But I'm going to have to, I don't know, play one later, play one over the holidays or something.
Yeah, one is going to have to
wait. Straight to backlog. I don't know. And most people are dealing with at least one of those, in some cases, a lot more of those situations where it's like, I want to play these games, but I physically can't. There's not enough time, and I don't have enough money to buy all the games
that are
coming out all at once, too.
Right.
So I think that these companies thought they were making a smart decision by getting out of the way, but now they're in an equally bad decision where it's like, it's like the conundrum, that riddle of like, would you rather fight one 800-pound gorilla or 800 one-pound
gorillas.
That's kind of what is happening here. And I have started to see, like, I think there was one smaller game that announced, like, we're getting out of September. It's too much. I do wonder, do we start to see some other companies just like, we're going to make a little adjustment.
Yeah.
And there are other opportunities. Like, December is an opportunity. Q1 is a big opportunity.
Although Q1 is already starting to get a little crowded too. So, I mean, it is going to be competitive, period. But there are other months in the year that exist that's not September. You know what I mean? And I think the fear of, this looming fear of nothing can come out in November is just going to, you're sending your game off to die, basically.
Yeah.
Is a problem for a lot of
people. Yeah, and I just fear some of these games that are in that busy period are going to flop. And it's going to be like, well, what happened? Who could have predicted this?
And it has a likelihood of it being a really big game, too.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times, yes, of course, like, maybe a smaller game can't stand up to a juggernaut of a game like Wolverine or whatever. But, you know, at this rate, it's like big game against big game against big game. So it's just like, what's your taste what your choice
is. The game that always comes to mind is like, this game could lose big time, is Control Resonant, which is from Remedy, we know it's going to be a really high quality game. We heard from people who played it at Summer Game Fest. They're like, this is awesome. It's from a smaller franchise, from a studio that's not as well known as a lot of these other ones. It's just sandwiched in there. And it's like, I just feel like a lot of people are not going to pick that compared to these other things that have a bigger name or are part of a bigger franchise.
Yeah.
And it's kind of the sad truth. That's the one where if I talk to them, I'd be like, you should probably get out of there.
Go to December.
Yeah.
They could very easily go to December.
Yeah. I don't
know. Get control of your launch date.
I don't know. We have long ranted about how launch date selection has been handled badly in the industry. And this just feels like a wake up call for a lot of people of like, okay, you did one thing to try and manage this. You might have to do another thing.
Exactly.
So as a result, our winner is Grand Theft Auto 6.
Exactly. They weren't even at...
They did nothing.
They had no presence within these showcases.
No trailer.
They were not in, Summer Game Fest, which is sort of like the sort of overall showcase. If you're not going to be platform agnostic, you put your stuff in Summer Game Fest. They were nowhere to be seen because they don't have to be. They've already got everyone eating out of the palm of their hand, and they can do whatever they want whenever they want, but they got people running. I mean, again, they got the entire industry running scared to get out of their way. So they own November right now. They completely own this.
Yeah,
they didn't have to do a thing.
I think there's only two like really notable games even coming out in November. One of them is this funny Barbie compilation.
I'm gonna play that again.
Barbenheimer's happening again. And then the other one is the Switch 2 version of Metaphor ReFantazio, which is like, all right, a lot of people already played
that's
that.
That's an older game.
And it's,
so,
and it's like, you know, yeah. JRPG is good counter-programming, I think, to GTA.
There you go.
So again, I think there are some opportunities to be had. But yeah, the month is theirs. And it's almost like the rest of the year is theirs after that game comes out. So when you hear about people talking about these huge numbers, it's like, well, they might actually be set up to do that.
Yeah, like they can capture your attention as soon as the game comes out and just hold on to it for months and months and months, whatever that player is. And that person's not going to be interested, even if they are, have played GTA 6 in all of November, they may not even be interested in moving on to a different game. So that's tough for everybody else.
And we don't know what's going to happen with this Ocarina of Time remake.
Yep.
We didn't get a specific launch date in the direct.
Right.
We had some theories about maybe Nintendo is waiting a little bit longer to see if maybe GTA is going to get delayed, and then we'll have November. It does seem like that's the right place for them to launch that game. It's going to be like an interesting game of chicken to see what happens there.
That's another one where you could have just different people that are interested in one or the other. Maybe there's no overlap between those two audiences. I don't know. GTA 6
Probably
is
some.
Just so big. It's just such a broad-reaching, like, kind of almost like cult pop culture type of thing that it's hard for, anything to be up against that. But so is Ocarina of Time. Ocarina of Time can hold its own as well.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we'll see what happens there. But for now, as a clear winner of who is owning November, it's certainly GTA 6.
Yes. Time for another loser, which is Sony. And people out there may have a different opinion. Both of us feel that of all the showcases, this was the least exciting.
Yeah, for me, this was the weakest one.
It was mostly updates on games we already knew about.
Yep.
Not a lot of new games. The new game that we did get, this God of War...
Lao Fei.
I can't say it.
I will say it.
I don't
it.
Know how
Lao
to say
Fei.
It. It's a pretty divisive game. I was seeing some metrics of like, oh, it's the most talked about game for summer, for all these showcases. And it's like, well, I'm not sure everybody was saying
something positive about it. Yeah.
I've come around on it quite a bit. Initially, I didn't like the way they showed it. I didn't like that 20 minutes of cutscenes.
It was a little tough to get a good sense of what that game was with the way that they presented it, but... Generally, if you pull back from that and just look, I watched all that stuff again. I watched more trailers and things like that. I'm a huge fan of God of War, and I'm very interested in this character. So I think at the end of the day, it's going to be a great game. It's going to be a very different feeling game than, a game featuring Kratos. But I'm really interested in it. But not everyone feels that way.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some question marks for a lot of people and some God of War fans for them to get over with that.
Yeah.
Something else that really hurt them was just, this trend of companies trying to be more multi-platform. And as a result, like, they missed out on a lot of trailers that ordinarily be like, oh yeah, that'll be in the State of Play. That'll be in the Sony showcase. So Resident Evil Veronica, they didn't have that. Final Fantasy VII Revelation, they didn't have that. Kingdom Hearts 4, they didn't have that.
That's crazy. The Kingdom Hearts one is a wild one.
And you go back to just a couple years ago, it's like, oh yeah, Sony's going to get all those for their showcase, and now they don't. So,
and sometimes they got it as an exclusive.
Right. So that's
and they don't have that anymore.
So that's a challenging situation for them to try to think of, like, how do we present our platform and our showcases
yeah.
to be as appealing as possible, they might need to rethink some things.
Yeah, I do. I do like how one sort of positive thing I'll say about the PlayStation, the State of Play, is I do like how they did show a lot of gameplay.
Yes.
Like the Wolverine section was a lot of like
actual
gameplay, not just a cinematic cutscene. I did appreciate that, especially for games that are coming out in the next couple of months. Like you want to see what you're going to be feeling as a player, you know, doing the actions in this game, and I think they did deliver on that.
Yes.
They did a good job there, but yeah, it's just it's like an unfortunate like business thing for them that they're not getting these exclusives, they're not getting these reveals anymore. People are going elsewhere for those.
Yeah, and then lastly, this Wolverine game's coming out in mid-September, so it's right in that glut.
I know.
People are not looking at that though of like, oh, that's the cream of the crop. It's just like, oh, that's another one of those games that people are going to have to choose from. So
one
it has not yet done enough to separate itself from the competition.
Yeah, I wonder what it can do.
More shots of people getting sliced to ribbons, maybe? More blood?
They did that. They might need to think of some other ways.
That's all they got.
They need to think of some other ways. Show more characters.
Yeah, there we go.
You've been looking out for Psylocke.
I'm going to keep looking.
You're going to keep looking.
Yes.
Okay.
Winner. Jeff Keighley.
Yes.
Maybe one of the ultimate winners of this past week.
Right.
Really did come out smelling like a rose. Great Summer Game Fest stream.
Yes.
Really did seem to take to heart a lot of the feedback from the TGAs and some of the recent streams. It felt a little bit tighter. Really did have...
Pacing was great. Had a great opener.
Right.
A great closer. Developers from these huge publishers were there to support him. It did feel like a worthy show. I mean, for a while, you know, when he first started this, it wasn't the TGAs. You weren't really like expecting these big, big, huge reveals.
Yeah.
But no, he's turned that around. And now it's like, we're coming to these two showcases that he does, one in June, Summer Game Fest, one in December, TGAs, for these big reveals. Because they're not going to be in a State of Play. They're going to be in the Summer Game Fest or the TGAs.
He has these two bookends for the year, and he's the beneficiary because it is the truly multi-platform show.
Exactly.
And that's the audience that a lot of these companies want to reach because they want to sell more copies of their game. Something that was immediately apparent to us is like, wow, Jeff has really worked some magic with these Japanese companies because it is not easy to win them over and say, all right, Jeff Keighley, we'll give you our precious game and our precious new announcement, but he had those.
Yeah, I mean, Capcom, Square Enix are all very much bought into the Jeff Keighley roadshow of making their announcements, timing their big sort of reveal beats to the times of year where he does these big showcases. They must be seeing results because why would they continue to do this?
Yeah.
So he did a great job of, like, you know, getting them to entrust him, but also delivering these results. And he always, you know, shares the big numbers of people that are watching it, how it grows, all the different ways that he's, you know, getting this out to other countries. You know, he did like that Bilibili partnership this year. So he's continuing to like grow this thing in a really big way. And I agree. I think out of all the showcases, you know, Summer Game Fest was my favorite, actually.
Yeah.
It was the strongest one.
So the industry is fully bought in to Summer Game Fest, not just the stream, but also the hands-on event that we were at was really strong.
Yeah.
And he has kind of accomplished his goal of, like, rebuilding what E3 was, but in a way that maybe makes a little bit more sense, is a bit more modern for what the industry is, which is pretty remarkable to say one guy did this.
Yeah, yeah, and it's just a really, like, cool thing to look at what it was when it first started. We were at the very first Summer Game Fest.
So much smaller.
Split play days, and it was so much, but there was so much less support from the industry where people would, you know, rightly so, didn't know if they should participate. And they don't know what, you know, the risks are and whether or not they're going to get, you know, that kind of response back by spending a lot of money. But this year, the difference was so remarkable. Not only has just the event grown so much overall, but you can see, like, these companies are back to doing the big, like, E3-style build-outs. Like...
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
The Capcom area, two theaters, huge, you know,
statues,
museum style,
thematic
build out.
Like you saw some Tomb Raider thing in like a jungle.
Tomb Raider was in a jungle. Yeah. We went to Sega. They built an entire jazz bar for Stranger Than Heaven. They had a whole area for the Sonic 35th anniversary. It felt very much like you know, the E3 booths that we used to talk about inside the LA Convention Center, but now they're doing it at the play days of Summer Game Fest, which is incredible to see.
It's interesting you mentioned Sega, because they're unfortunately our next loser.
Cool build.
They had two...
Unfortunately,
The two of the big games that they were showing were really promising games that I think people were primed to like, in Crazy Taxi and Stranger Than Heaven, but both of these games were overshadowed by big controversy.
Yeah, that's really unfortunate.
So with Stranger Than Heaven... we had this Tupac thing, which there's it's kind of a multi-layered thing, which is like, A, like thematically.
How does that fit into...
how does him from the 1990s fit into this game of Japan, like, 1920s?
Yeah, the game time periods are 1915, 1925, and, like, 1941. Those are the three time periods that we were shown when we played this game. So it does feel just thematically a bit out of place to have Tupac and also Snoop Dogg as part of this equation.
Right. So thematically it's weird. And then there's the bigger question of like...
He's passed on.
Yes, he is no longer with us. Who is managing this estate? It seems like it's actually not the Tupac family. It's like the record label is managing the estate. And then it's like, so you're recreating an AI Tupac, and AI is such a hot button issue. And it's like he could not give you really consent for what you were doing. It's just an endless conversation. It really overshadowed this game that otherwise looked really cool.
I played this game and... I love this game, but I was very confused by the inclusion of these characters that didn't make sense to
me. What you saw like didn't really answer that question of like, why are these guys
here? Weren't in the thing that I saw.
It wasn't even there.
It wasn't there.
Perfect.
No, I saw something that was completely like removed from what we saw in the trailers and stuff like that.
And then Crazy Taxi, like the return of that should have been this feel-good thing, but then they're like, oh, by the way, we're using generative AI in our development process, which was, again, screeching halt. Taxi reference there of like, oh, okay, we actually don't want to talk or consider this game at all. We need to focus on this and really understand what you're doing and why and how that is helping you.
It just becomes an overshadowing thing.
And this is not we didn't get to see this game. I saw so many, you know, stories and posts about it. I didn't really see anything about the game itself.
Just about the AI.
It was all about the AI. So
that's too bad, because the initial trailer that they had on the Xbox showcase was so cool. And so, like, vibrant and beautiful and awesome looking. It's just really unfortunate that they got overshadowed by this, you know, this AI stuff.
So that's tough for Sega to be like, yeah, we've got these games that we think are great and people like to play, but we have these controversies that are hanging over them. Yeah. One smaller thing I would say is, again, we saw that big display for the Sonic 35th anniversary, and I was like, I'm not sure you really made the most of that. There's not much to it. We did play Sonic Pico Park, which is awesome.
That was like game of the show.
This is me saying I liked a Sonic game.
We had so much fun.
That game was super fun.
Sonic Pico Park.
But as far as like, did they have an impactful 35th anniversary? Yeah. Like looking back, and this was kind of like this moment for me to reflect on. It's like, I'm not sure they did.
I'm really out on video game anniversaries.
There's too many anniversaries.
No one is doing it really that well.
Let's take a break from anniversaries overall.
There's too many of them, and no one is actually doing it that well. So like, why do we even bother? Yes. Why do we even pin our hopes on these at all? So, yeah.
Yeah. Under our next winner, and this one might be controversial.
Oh.
We're putting Xbox as a winner.
It is.
We say it's controversial because their exclusive strategy is confusing. Mm-hmm. We don't understand it. I don't think they understand it either.
I think they're just trying to figure it out as they go along. Trying to figure it out.
Asha Sharma has come out after the great vibes of Summer Game Fest and said, the business is in the toilet. We're probably going to be laying people off. Okay,
yeah.
So we're back to the good old Xbox days of not being able to go a month without stepping on a rake and getting some bad news. But there is a renewed energy, renewed interest around Xbox. It's just like, what are they going to do? How are they going to elevate themselves?
Turn the ship around.
They're now very clearly positioned as the plucky underdog. How did Microsoft become the plucky underdog? I don't know, but it's like, it does feel like the industry is kind of rooting for them. Like,
of course we don't want them to fail.
It'd be great to have them back. And
we need the big three.
They have a lot. They have a lot of hard questions. They're trying to figure it out. It's still relatively early days, but they did have a really good lineup at Summer Game Fest.
That was my second favorite showcase.
I mean, if you look like Gears of War, Halo, Call of Duty, Fable, and that was a really smart move to move Fable into Q1. It's like, that's a great lineup of games.
Yeah.
Again, the questions about like why is one on a PS5, one not? It's like, we're never going to get a clean answer to that.
They probably don't have a clean answer for a little while.
But I'm interested in most of those games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So good on them for at least having a really smart lineup. And you're talking about anniversaries, like they did tap into the nostalgia.
Actually, they're the only one that did it well.
Yeah,
I will say
they had all these like living rooms that they had assembled of all the different generations of Xbox that people were really enjoying there.
It's very nostalgic.
They do seem to be trying hard to tap into that for their 25th anniversary. So. If you want to say, like, yeah, I think you know, because of the big picture, I'm going to say they're a loser. I can't really argue with that. But I think for us, plus you.
Excuse me.
I'm going to say they're a winner.
Yes.
Good? Okay.
I'm not allergic to Xbox, I promise. One thing that I noticed around Xbox, too, is that, like, there just seems to be this idea of, like, we're trying to get back to, it's murky for even Xbox themselves, and it's also murky for all of us, but it's like we're trying to get back to that, like, essence of what made Xbox cool, like in the 360 era when we were like, we're so in on this, it's so cool, it's a fun, different experience than what we're getting from Sony, what we're getting from Nintendo. Mm-hmm. Like, there is something very special about that Xbox experience. I think they kind of lost it along the way, doing various things, stepping on various rakes. But you do get the sense that, like, no, we're, like, slowly trying to work our way back to what that is. You know, maybe that console exclusivity is part of that path back. They need to clarify it, certainly. But there is, like, this sort of, I can see where they're going with it. And I think everyone else can see it, too. So you kind of get a glimpse of, like, okay, I see where you're trying to get to. It's going to be a path to get there, but at least there's hope, you know? So I think that's a good feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you're probably saying you've come to the end of this video and you haven't mentioned Nintendo. So what do you
think about them?
We had to put them at the end because they're one part winner, one part loser.
Yeah, they're kind of Switzerland. They're like
neutral. They're right down the middle because they did a lot of things that were great and some things that were not so great. So on the great side, on the winner side of things, this third-party games lineup just gets better and better.
Oh, so strong. And the Switch 2, it's awesome.
And when you consider, it's like, okay, there was everything that was in the Nintendo Direct, but then there were all the Switch 2, like, Jeff Keighley had a Resident Evil game and a Final Fantasy VII game that are also coming to Switch 2. Mm-hmm. There were so many other games throughout the week that were announced from third parties. It's like this lineup is so strong.
Yeah.
And it seems like the third parties are kind of outpacing Nintendo at development, which is like, has that ever happened?
On a Nintendo platform? I've seen that trend before, but yeah, it's such a funny thing to think about. It's like within all of the other showcases, there is probably at least one, if not more than one, game in those other showcases that are going to be on a Switch 2, that are multi-platform on a Switch 2. Mm-hmm. So it's like Nintendo's really just like collecting all the stuff. Like they're really winning on that.
Yeah, even Xbox, they had that new Spyro game.
Exactly.
That looks great, that's going to be coming.
Minecraft.
So kind of scattered throughout the week, like Nintendo was picking up games from third parties that are new and noteworthy. And I do think that's important when you consider like the Nintendo Direct in its totality of like, well, imagine a world where those things that got announced a few days earlier were also in here. Yeah, because those are new games for the Direct one way or the other.
Right.
Now, and they also secured this Kingdom Hearts 4 trailer,
which
is
pretty huge.
An incredible coup for them. I'm not sure exactly how that happened.
I'm telling you, follow the money.
Where neither Jeff Keighley nor Sony nor Microsoft.
I mean, it's a multi-platform game.
It is.
And they picked Nintendo.
Right, so that says a lot about where they are with third parties.
And also, like, the third parties' trust and belief in this in this platform and this audience.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So.
But then on the loser side of things, there's just so many questions about the first party output, which is such a strange place for them to be. It's always, oh, Nintendo is carrying their platforms.
I mean, also, it's almost like people bought the Nintendo thing, the Nintendo hardware, because of the first party output.
Right.
Which is now kind of the opposite. Because like even for us, anecdotally, like I have definitely played more third party games on my Nintendo Switch 2 than any first party game. Like it's truly out. It's like at least 2-1. In terms of first party to third party.
Yeah.
So that's a really interesting place to be because I don't think that's ever happened before.
Yeah, so there are some good, I mean, Star Fox is coming soon. That looks great. Splatoon Raiders, that looks really cool. I think we're both really excited
Fire
for those.
Emblem.
Fire Emblem. Mm-hmm. But again, the way they ended the Direct with those two games, Zelda and the Duskbloods being like, Duskbloods was kind of a no-show and Zelda was such a small taste of something that apparently is coming this year.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know that that did enough to get us super excited about this thing that we heard about in March, months ago.
Right. Well, the thing is that, like, these are their two big sort of anchor titles for 2026. And it's the two things that we know the least amount of information on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they both have the promise, the Duskbloods and this new Ocarina of Time game. They both have such big, huge, you know, potential and the promise of making a huge impact and being great and standing up maybe to GTA 6, you know, all those things that we talked about, like this is the game that's going to shine in the September glut. This is the game that's going to go head to head with GTA 6 and come out on top. Like the potential was there, but unfortunately they didn't show us anything about it.
Yeah.
So it's hard for us to like get on board.
Yeah. And you go back to what Mr. Furukawa said about the price increase of like, yeah, the way we counter that is we're going to have a great lineup of games and we do, and we're going to show you. And they kind of did that, but they also kind of didn't.
Third parties did that.
Yeah.
And even their like second parties, you know, the Monolith Soft or whatever, whatever we want to count them as. They delivered.
Yeah. And the stuff in the kind of like immediate short term, it's like, yeah, that all looks great.
Yeah.
But you know, I think all eyes are on that big holiday period of like, what is the big game?
And both these games
we're going to close out this year.
Duskbloods and Zelda are both still dated for 2026.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very curious if one falls out of this year because of whatever is happening. Because it's interesting that there is no, you know, everybody else announced their dates.
Yeah. So they got some winner tendencies and some loser tendencies as well. So we had to rate them as both, to be quite honest.
Yes, exactly. Wow. What do you guys think? It was definitely really fun and exciting to be in the midst of big June announcement season again. Like, that's always something to look forward to.
Very exciting, yeah.
And we had so much fun, like, watching all the showcases, attending some of these showcases, going to Summer Game Fest, playing these games, seeing all of our wonderful friends from the games industry. Like, it just felt good. I'm really happy that this kind of season of game announcements is, like, kind of back.
Yeah.
I'm really glad.
It's great.
Because I really missed it. And it's fun to have this. But what do you guys think? Who are the winners? Who are the losers? Tell us in the comments. And that's it. We're going to wrap this video up and see you later.
Bye.
Bye.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.